potential does God have in each one of you? We're all created in the image of God. I can tell you, to bring that potential out, there's one very necessary element, and that's to learn how to praise God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the power of praise. The power of praise is the power of God unleashed through praise. I want us to understand, it's not just the praise in and of itself that creates anything. We can't create anything with our own thoughts and our own desires, but it's God who is creator, and God has put His image, He's created each one of us in His image, and He wants us to just praise Him, and He'll do the rest. It's amazing the things that God can do. How many of you guys have ever had an answered prayer in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever had an answered prayer. I can tell you, yeah, absolutely, I'll put both hands up. I've seen so many answered prayers in my life, but you see, the key to prayer is not just what we want, it's what God's will is. And as we praise God, then His will is brought to light. And as we pray it back to Him, God does amazing things when He's going to be glorified in it. God is so awesome. And so we're going to read a little story here in the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 16, if you want to open up your Bibles. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to be starting at verse 24. We read a little story last week about how God gave discernment, the power of God gave discernment to Paul to realize that this young lady that was speaking wasn't speaking from the voice of God. She was actually speaking from the voice of a demon. And so he cared enough about that lady that he freed her from this evil spirit, set her free, cast out the demon. She was free, but her masters were really upset because they were making a lot of money off of her ability to do this some sort of divination. Okay? And the word that's used for divination there, I kind of want you to know the story, is actually a type of ventriloquism. Do you guys know what ventriloquism is? It kind of fits with the story. Because she was saying, you know, these are servants of the Most High God, you really need to listen to them. But she was doing it in such a way, it was very distracting. And it was a demonic spirit that was behind it all. And so Paul and Silas are together, and we know that Luke's here because he keeps saying us. And so we got Paul, he turns around. And it says he was greatly annoyed by this whole thing, and he cast the evil demon out of her. And so this kind of made him mad. So something I want us to know from this, before we kind of get into the story for today, is that sometimes we can be doing the will of God, and not everybody's going to be happy about it. Amen? Sometimes whenever we're bringing forth the light, God is the light reveals the darkness in other people's lives and the junk that's in there, and they can get upset about it. But it's okay. That don't mean that we quit doing what we're doing. We just need to make sure we're led by God. If we're led by God, God will be with us and God will take care of us. So they took him out, okay? And so we're going to pick it up at verse 24, all right? And they had been charged and they had laid many stripes on them, verse 23, and they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, verse 24. Having received such charge, they put them into the inner prison. Yeah, I want you to understand what that means. That's like the inner prison is deeper. It's like the place where nobody could escape. They put them in the most serious place to hold somebody. It's kind of like the hole, you know? They put them in the hole. This is almost like a solitary confinement, only they put them in there together, and then they wanted to make sure these guys don't get out. And then they fastened their feet in stocks. Does this sound comfortable to anybody? All right, they've been beat. They've been accused of doing something wrong when they did, and all they did was free a young lady from a demon. Okay? They did something good. So they get beat, they get thrown in prison, the inner prison. They're told to be kept there securely. They fasten their feet in stocks. And so things aren't looking real good for them. Would you agree? But I love the buts in the Bible. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Do I get an amen? And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. I want you to know, it don't matter what kind of prison you may feel like you're in, you keep praising God, because He can shake the foundations of the earth to let you go. Imagine, the doors flew open, the chains fell off, these guys were free. They could have just walked out of there if they'd have wanted to. Praise the Lord. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? Can anybody tell me? Do you know anything about Roman law and why this guy was so upset? Huh? Brother Bill? He was responsible for every prisoner he held according to his very own life. So here's the deal, guys. You know how they killed Jesus? You remember they put him on a cross and it was a horrible death and it was the type of death that was an example to everybody else? This prison guard knew that whenever they said, you keep these guys securely, that if any one of them were to escape, they would make an example out of him. That it would be his life required of him instantly and in a horrible way so that everybody would know, man, the Romans mean business. So he's supposing that all the prisoners had fled because he heard all the jail doors fly open. He heard the chains fall off. He felt this great earthquake. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But, another but in the Bible. But, Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, listen to this, what must I do to be saved? He said to himself, I heard those guys praising this God. I see what this God has done in their life, and I see they love me so much that they didn't flee. I want to follow their God. And you see, guys, this is the exact same thing that God wants to do through our lives. As He opens up the prison doors, as He pulls off our chains, as we continue to love the people around us, they're going to want to follow our God. Amen? And so Paul, he was looking at the bigger picture. He wasn't just looking at himself and feeling sorry for himself. And in the process, we see a man who wants to know Jesus. He wants to be saved. And so they said, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Oh, that touches my heart. And you say, why is the preacher acting like this? Because I got a household and I want every one of them to know Jesus. I want every one of them to be in heaven someday. You know, and if they don't know Jesus, no matter how much I love them, they will not be in heaven with me at the end of all of this. It's only if they know Jesus. I see a household here today. I see family here today because of a little one who decided to follow Jesus and made the public profession of that in the waters of baptism. And so she followed Jesus, and a 6-year-old child brought an entire family to church today here. Amen? Let's give God a hand. That's exactly what happens whenever we follow the Lord. You see, God does the chain breaking. He's the chain breaker. All we need to do is do the praising. You see, I can't break those chains. Paul and Silas couldn't break those chains. They couldn't get their feet out of stocks. They couldn't open the jail doors. But you see, God could. And all they needed to do is pray to God and let Him do what only He could do. Did you notice? We don't even see that they were praying to be set free. We just see they were just praising God. They were saying, amen, you are awesome, God. You're awesome. Our praise and worship here in this church, I'm telling you, is doing more than what you realize when you show up and praise God together. I'm saying that spiritual chains are broken off. Spiritual chains are being just torn away. The jail doors are coming open for people because we're praising God. We don't have to go out and physically tear all that stuff down. In fact, we can't. How many of you all have somebody, a loved one in your life, that's following a wrong way, and you just wish so much that you could change their course? Amen? Absolutely. It just breaks our hearts to see them because we know that they're heading down the wrong direction. And man, we would love to step in and physically be able to stop them. And so many times, that's all we can think of. Physically do it. But I'm going to tell you, folks, your spiritual praise and worship is the strongest tool you've got. You praise God, you pray for them, and you continue to watch. And it's not about us. You see, it wasn't never about Paul and Silas here. We don't see that whenever the jail door flew open, man, they booked for it. They ran as hard as they could to get away. No, they were concerned about others still. And in the process, let's look at the rest of the story. So they tell the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Man, this is a message to the parents and the grandparents, ain't it? You see, we can't force our children to believe, but when they see us believe, it inspires them to follow. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Can you imagine his whole household got baptized that day? You know, everywhere else in the Bible that it talks about baptism, guys, it's talking about believers' baptism. So that means the children believed. That's why they got baptized that day. The children believed. And so they were baptized along with their parents. It says, now when they had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. How many times does he have to say it? His whole household believed because he took that step of faith. He asked them how to be saved, and now God is doing amazing things in the entire family. I can tell you, this ain't just a story in the Bible. This is an account of a true thing that happened, and it'll happen in your lives too. If you will praise God with your life, God will do awesome things. This is the power of praise, the power of God unleashed through praise. Let's just look at this a little bit more. So Jesus told us what to do when we get persecuted. You know, guys, if you desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, now I'm quoting scripture here. This comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You see, Jesus even told us we're all going to be persecuted. He said, if they hate me, what makes you think they're not going to hate you? Okay, now that was a paraphrase. Basically, exactly what he said in more than one way. In fact, he tells us right here in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question here. When somebody speaks evil of you and you didn't do anything wrong, do you feel blessed at that moment?
No.
Not naturally. I never have. I've always went, hey, how dare them? I can't believe that they would say something like that about me. And really, in reality, they don't know half of the bad things about me. Amen? I'm a lot worse than what they even realize. But you see, I get so offended that they're going to think one bad thing about me that I'm ready to give it all up, hang up the towel, walk off. How dare I? Jesus said, you're blessed whenever this happens, folks. Because you know why we're blessed? It's because that's when we're most like Jesus. What did they do to him? And he was perfect. And so he's saying, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. That's why we're blessed, because it's false, right? For my sake. You know, the other day I was going up Highway 55 and I was going a little too fast. I got another one of my stories. I got a speeding ticket. And I'm just going to tell you, I ain't feeling real blessed. Not feeling real blessed. You see, it wasn't falsely. I wasn't going as fast as they said I was. But I do know I was going faster than I should have been. And so I'm just going to pay the ticket, and I'm going to get over it. But you see, guys, when we're really blessed is when we wasn't even doing nothing wrong. All we're doing is being like Christ, and we get looked at and reviled. You see, we're blessed. And this is what he tells us to do. I know I've taken a long time getting to the second verse here. Because I want you to get this built in your mind right now. This is what we're supposed to do. So we've seen the negative, which is actually a positive. Now this is what we do. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it didn't make sense what Paul and Silas were doing in that prison in a fleshly way. But you see, they believed what they heard that Jesus had said, and so they just did it. They didn't feel it. When you're sitting there and your feet are in stocks and you're in this, you're bound and I can tell you, when they gave you stripes, you knew it. You see, they had open wounds because this man, this jailer later dressed their open wounds. They had open wounds and were sitting in the deepest part of the prison in a stinky, smelly, terrible place. I can tell you, this wasn't a Ritz Hilton. They were stuck in stocks. Have you ever been stuck in one position for a long time before? You're stuck and you can't move. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to be 50 this year. And my bones and my joints get to aching sometimes. Right? And the more I sit still sometimes, man, it makes you ache. So rather than complaining, rather than crying about it, rather than focusing on the problem, they started focusing on solution. And whenever they did that and they started doing what Jesus said, they just rejoiced. God did powerful things. Guys, persecution just comes with living for Christ. We see that here in these verses of Acts chapter 16. And so they put them, they fasten them up in these stocks. So what do they do whenever they're persecuted? They did what Jesus said. Let's move on to the next slide there. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. Amen. Praying and singing hymns to God. What do we come here to do at this church every Sunday and Wednesday and as often as we can plan to come? We come and we pray and we sing hymns to God. Amen? Yeah. Do you think we're doing the right thing or do you think we're just wasting our time? I think we're doing the right thing. And I think if we'll just keep continue to do the right thing, we'll continue to do it all the more. And here's the other thing. Continue to do it even when it ain't easy. Okay? You see, it wasn't easy for them to do it right here. You see, they were going through a rough time. You ever go through a rough time before? I've been through some rough times. I tell you, when you're going through the rough time, that's the most important time to follow through with your praise and worship and continue on, because that's when God's going to do something big. You see, God allows us to go through those rough times just like they're going through this rough time. This didn't just accidentally happen. And God went, oh no, what am I going to do? My servants, they're in trouble. It wasn't like that, guys. This was all part of their life and experience. And God said, you watch how I strengthen them. You watch how I strengthen their faith whenever they reach out to me and I do something amazing. And I'm going to tell you, only God could open up that prison that day. Another thing only God could have done was after that prison was open, none of the prisoners left. And they weren't all Christians. You see, those other prisoners were hearing the praise and worship, and bam, and they're still reeling, thinking, it had to be because those guys were singing. I wonder how many of those prisoners got saved that night. Imagine God doing such awesome things. And so what happens next? You know, the earthquake, the foundations of the prison are shaking. I'm telling you guys, this is what God's doing right now in your lives. Keep praising Him. Immediately the doors were open and everybody's chains are loosed. And then we see what they do next. You know why God saved you? He saved you to serve Him. Do I get an amen? He saved you to serve Him. He didn't save you to set wherever you're sitting and do nothing. He saved you so that you could do what He has called you to do and affect the people that are in your life and affect the people that He will put you in touch with. You see, they realized the moment they were saved, I'm not saved to run. I'm not saved to live my life just for me. I am saved so that I can serve. And they served that jailer that night. And not only that jailer got saved, but his whole household got saved. His whole household, that means the whole family. I just cannot say that enough times, because I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm really disturbed by something. In our culture today, they say that over 80% of the children who are raised in church leave the church by the first year of college and never come back. That bothers me. That is not telling me that God is weak. That's telling me we're doing something wrong. And so here's, I guess, I'm one of those analytical people, and so I've tried to think this one through every which way, because remember I told you, I don't want to see that in my children. You see, and I don't think that statistic means it has to happen that way. That's not how it has to happen. That's not what God wants. You see, that statistic tells me that maybe we've been doing something not quite right. And I'll tell you what I think we've been doing that's not been quite right. A lot of people come to church on Sunday, but they don't live it the rest of the week. You see, this is the only place that they'll come and sing a praise to God. And they may not even sing. They may just come and just sit still, do their time, you know, and try to give God what He wants so He'll stay off their back the rest of the week. I've heard it before. But they're not doing it at home, and the kids see the hypocrisy and they don't follow Christ. So what I want to do is I want to see that statistic erased in this generation. So if you're here with your family, I want you to know, if you have children and even if they're just grandchildren, they're watching you. And they're going to see, is your faith genuine? You're the example of Christ in their life until they decide to follow Him truly for Himself, for themselves. And so they're watching us, guys. And I'm going to tell you, they can spot a hypocrite a mile away. They want to see the power of God coming out of your life. They want to see you living for God all the time. They want to see the power of praise in your life 24/7. And if they don't, I'll tell you, they're going to let us know about it. They're going to let us know about it by walking away. And I can tell you, they're pretty unyielding whenever you try to convince them to come back. Because I'm the guy that goes out and visits a lot of these folks, and you know, I hear it all the time. My grandparents acted like they were really this and that at church, but at home, they lived an entirely different life. My mom and dad said that they were this and that in church, and then they got divorced. And it disillusioned me. My mom and dad said they were this and that at church, but then we found out the way that they were lying and the way they were cheating people on the side. You see, guys, I hear it, and I don't want it to be said of me by my children. And we've all got our bumps and bruises, and we all make our mistakes, and so I'm not condemning anybody in the room, but here's my deal. You live for God 24/7, and whenever you make a mistake, you repent before your children and show them the truth. And show them that you're going to get up, and you're going to keep following Jesus, even though you may have blew it. And I'm going to tell you, your children will see a real Christianity being lived out. And they're going to want it too. That's the key. So we got Paul and Silas. They could have ran, but they didn't. They realized they were saved to serve. They stayed. They lived out their Christianity right there with the jailer that night. And the power of God just literally, here it is, guys, brings salvation. Amen? Acts chapter 16, verses 33 and 34. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. The one who was holding them now is taking care of them. And immediately all of his family were baptized, and when they had brought them into his house, set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now he is praising the Lord. Amen? He is a follower of Christ. Praising the Lord. The power of God brings that salvation, and our humble praise literally unleashes the power of God. Do I get an amen? Your humble praise is what unleashes God's power. I'm going to touch on one Old Testament story. I'll tell you why I'm going to touch on this story, because it really says volumes on what we're talking about here. But another reason why I'm going to touch on this story is because I was preparing to preach this message, and this story came up in our daily devotions with our family. Okay? So as we were reading the Bible together as a family, this story comes up. So let's go to the next slide. And this is about Jehoshaphat. And he was a king in Judah, and I'm just going to tell you, he had his problems. He struggled along like we all do, but he tried to live for God. And two nations came together, and they were just going to wipe them out. They were like a horde. There were hundreds of thousands of people coming at them, and nothing they could do about it. And Jehoshaphat knew that, and he knew he was in great trouble, and this is what he did. He went to God, and he prayed to Him. And he said, "Will you not judge them, Lord? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming up against us, nor do we know what to do. But here's the deal, guys, and this is how we go through life. I pray this will be your prayer. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you." You see, that's a real praise of God. That, now, just to say praise the Lord, that's one thing, but are you living a praise the Lord? You see, he was living it. He was saying, "God, you're so awesome. I don't know what to do, but I know you do. So I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do whatever you say." So God gave him an answer. And by verse 22 and 23, God had given him the battle plan. And God actually said, "You won't even have to fight in this battle. You just assemble everybody together, and you go out on the high place where you can look out over the valley, and they'll all be coming towards you. But this is what you're to do." And so they do it right here in verses 22 to 23. "Now when they began to sing and praise." This is the battle plan, guys. You see, they had two huge armies coming at them at this time. And what did they do? They went and they got to where they could see the armies, and they had the leaders of the music up there, Brother J.D. and Sister Shirley. And they just started leading the praise and worship. And the whole group started to sing and praise. And the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. So three nations who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now, here's how they defeated them. God literally set them against one another. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Do I get an amen and a praise of the Lord? So here's the deal, guys. All you really got to do, this is the one thing you have to do to defeat the enemy in your life. You have to be a praise of the Lord. And if you'll be doing that, God will be fighting your battle for you. All they did was they just went out there and praised the Lord, and the enemy just destroyed each other. Do you know Satan is divided against himself? He's divided against everything, and he will destroy himself. God already said so. Jesus said a nation divided against itself will fall. And Satan, he's going to destroy. All we need to do is just praise God and make sure that we are totally committed to him. So now my question, are you totally committed to Jesus? If you are, the fruit will show it. Just like we agreed, we ain't going to get no fruit on these. You can't imagine it. Have you ever pruned fruit trees? It broke my heart to prune those good limbs off. I could see they had all this potential. But I know they're not going to grow peaches in that jar. Neither are you if you have all this potential, but you don't stay connected to Jesus. You see, guys, yeah, it starts with a decision to follow Jesus, and then it continues with a continued life of following Jesus. So where are you? Are you following Jesus? I pray you are, and we're going to rejoice together, and we're going to continue to praise the Lord together. But if you're not, I'm going to tell you, you and your whole household will suffer. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to open the altar, and we're going to let anybody that wants to come up and pray and ask Jesus to help you. Yeah, I mean, it's just like King Jehoshaphat here, and he goes, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's how we live a life with Christ. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to open the altars for you.